stupid game. 20and0.com over here trying to build best roster possible. But I got stuck with the Miami Dolphins or the, well, it doesn't really matter the era.
I bet you on the first try I could go 17-0.
All right, give it a shot.
What do you want to bet?
I just don't understand if you don't have opponents how this game works. Like you've got like,
it's like fantasy football. So like they have like certain amount of points that ever in their stats from that year, which you put it all together, and then it's like, all right, like this player would have did this year, so you put it all in one, and then it's like,
okay, why didn't you guys just explain that in the last segment?
You said you knew the concept of the game. You said it like five times.
Yeah, you kept cutting us off. You didn't explain it.
You're like, I understand the game. No, you don't.
Meanwhile, a texter writes in, I'm having a tough day at work. Can you please play the Sean Myers audio of him hitting the golf ball off the first tee? Yes, we can.
Five. Sean.
Minutes.
And now Noah Hiles of the Post-Gazette joins us. He's on the hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. These games are right up your alley, Noah. I mean, this is like your speed right here. It's remember a guy. Yeah, you got to put some thought into it. This is your thing.
What games? What are we talking about?
It's called 20and0.com, or there's 82and0.com. You put together a roster. It gives you a year and a team, and you got to pick a player.
And build
the best roster possible. It's awesome.
Yeah, dude, last night on like this note, I had a couple of buddies over watching the Stanley Cup, and we were just doing like a draft of like an all 90s draft of like you had to pick like a TV show, a movie, a toy, a video game, and stuff like that. And then we also did like a 90s athlete draft, a 2000s athlete draft. Yeah, this stuff is right up.
Can I ask you a potentially offensive question?
Yeah.
Were there any women at this thing?
No, of course not.
Some of my favorite days in college. It'd be like a Thursday night. You'd just be sitting around a campfire or something and just naming dudes. It's the best.
Yeah, like I mean, no girl wants to hear about Bartolo Colon's 2008 Cy Young for the Angels or whatever he won it, but like the fellas do. We're gonna talk about that for 5 minutes.
Little R.A. Dickey knuckleball on his way to a Cy Young with the Toronto Blue Jays.
That's what you guys call filling airtime. All right, that's what when, but just through the whole hangout.
Harry corrected me, and he's right. He won it with the Mets, and then he went to the Blue Jays. I'm such a moron.
Oh.
You can...
Yeah, I thought you were talking about Bartolo. No. Bartolo definitely won his with the Angels.
Yeah, both Mets, though, at different points. Yeah. Text is brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. All right, so last night it works. You get Jared Jones, 5 scoreless innings, and then you get 4 good innings out of Carmen Majinski. So that's great. But doesn't it leave them an arm short in the bullpen more than not?
I mean, yeah, if that's how they're going to use this, it's essentially like a 6-man rotation, right? That's all this is. Now, to be fair, if it works the way it did yesterday, then it doesn't matter because you're not using your bullpen at all on one day of the week. But will it work like that every time? I don't know. I mean, if Jared can't go 5 and Carmen can't go 5, then you're going to need somebody. So I think if he can do what he did yesterday once a week and then another day in the week, rather than throwing a bullpen, they just have him pitch 1 inning of high leverage.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
See, that's what we were talking about earlier. There needs to be some flexibility because Carmen in it for an inning and like if Montgomery's down or you like the matchups better, you can throw him out there in the eighth. I love that.
Well, I mean, what right-hander on their team do you feel better about than Carmen pitching in like the eighth inning? No, I mean, Wilbur Dortel's good, but like I don't know if he's an eighth inning guy right now.
Right. Do you think they're going to continue to use Dotel the way that they are, or could he maybe find himself in a spot where he would pitch the 7th, he would pitch the 8th? Because I like those two guys right there can transform this bullpen if they're not so stubborn about just piggybacking them off of other guys.
I think they're in a place where they can't force just one role on anyone in that bullpen. Because, I mean, it's their only weakness right now. I mean, you could say defense, but like the outfield defense hasn't killed them recently. And I mean, Nick Gonzalez had a rough showing in the one game in Houston, but like overall defensively, it hasn't been bad enough to be a problem because their offense is so damn good. Their starting pitching is solid. And if Jones can keep pitching like he did yesterday, like they're going to be fine in that department. It's just, they have one weakness. So you don't have the luxury of being like, oh, this guy's in this role with anyone, like Gregory Soto even, or Evan Sisk or whoever. Like, you've got to throw guys who you think can get you through the finish line because the rest of the team is doing their job. If starters are going five innings and your offense is scoring at least five runs, you should win almost every game you play through that formula. So you don't have, yeah, like you don't have the luxury of being like, well, he's just a long reliever. No, no, no. You need someone. You're going to need 12 outs. Figure out how to get them with what you have available to you.
No, this is clearly a good baseball team. You know, we've discussed this week that, you know, they're a top 10 team and maybe even a top 5 team in some people's eyes. You know, even around, we asked Neil Walker, he thinks they're a top 10 team. We talked about them being top 5, obviously. But what do they need to do in these next 6 games against the Braves and the Dodgers, in your opinion? What does the record need to look like?
I think they got to go 500. I don't think you need to win, but you can't get bullied by these two teams. Because this is what good teams do. Mm. Good teams do two. I mean, one, good teams beat up on bad competition, and for the most part, the Pirates have done that this year. Look no further than this past weekend when the Fightin' Derek Sheltons were in town. They took care of business against them. Rowdy Tellez didn't even have to pitch that game. It was beautiful. But, I mean, now you look at it, what they have ahead, they have some good tests ahead. And it's not just with these two teams. They're going to see the Phillies later this month again. They're going to see the Mariners, who are a good ball club. They have a good schedule in June. And in past years, even when this team was competitive, you would look at that and say, oh, God, okay. I mean, can they survive this? And it's like, no. Like if you're truly a top 10 team in Major League Baseball, you should want this smoke. And I think the Pirates do. So yeah, I'm not saying they need to have a winning record. I mean, it's tough to win a series in Atlanta, especially against this year's Braves team. And it's tough to win a series against the Dodgers, wherever you play them. But if you can somehow take 3 wins out of these 6 games, that is a very good sign for your ball club. And anything better than that is a resounding victory.
Did you happen to catch up with Shelty while he was here?
I did a little bit. Yeah, I don't think he was in the mood to travel down memory lane too much. Again, I know I just took a jab at him. I thought I had a pretty good relationship with Shelty. He and I, you know, cracked a lot of jokes at each other and had some really good conversations. But I got the vibe that when he was back, he was just kind of, you know, I was just here to coach the Twins.
I'd largely want to forget about it, too. The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. I remember when Ozuna was signed, and everyone was excited. I may or may not have been excited. We were all excited, except there was one guy who said, that's not a great idea because of the inability for this guy to play any other positions. And, well, now the guy can't hit his way out of a paper bag. So kudos to you because it was you. Noah Hiles, who said this is not great. How long do you keep this guy on the roster when clearly their optimum roster right now, their optimum lineup, has Andy Rodriguez at catcher and Jake Mangum in the outfield? This guy's just taken up a spot. Every time he plays, he makes the lineup considerably worse.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to take a victory lap, but...
Oh, do it. It's fine.
Text. I mean, I got some texts when I made that... analysis that I was always being negative, and it's like, oh well, you know, I think every other move the team made was pretty good, and would you know it, they have been good, and this guy stinks. But no, I think they keep him rostered for a multitude of reasons. One, because they've spent so much money on him. I mean, if they kept Rowdy and Tommy Pham and all those guys around longer, they're not going to give up on him. And two, they have been probably bad against left-handed pitching, especially against left-handed starting pitching. And if you look at his splits numbers, I haven't looked at them recently, but I know like as of a week ago, he had like a 740 OPS against left-handed pitching. So you probably just keep him there as like he is just a very strict role player, which they fortunately have the luxury of rostering right now, because they're seven regular starters. If you include Connor Griffin, assuming he comes back soon, your true starting seven are so damn good that you can afford to have, you know, kind of a bump on the log on the bottom of your bench. You only DH against left-handed pitching. That's how their lineup is currently hitting right now. So that's probably what you have to do.
I didn't realize it was as late into the segment as it was. We're having just such a good time talking to Noah Hyles. I got two quick ones then for you, real quick.
Yeah.
KG, I mean, is there any panic going on behind the scenes from what you've heard about the injury?
I don't know about panic, okay. But I mean, it's never a good thing when your most important player in your franchise has an arm issue. That's just all I'll say on that.
That's great. Mm. And can they get a reliever early? A reliever or two early? I mean, all I keep reading is all the market. No one wants to move relievers. I mean, can you not give something up to get something now? Can you not overpay?
You sure can. And I mean, it would kind of follow in line with how they've operated this whole offseason, really. I mean, they were like the first ones to the bidding for Kyle Schwarber, and like they've been aggressive. They've tried to kind of set the market for certain things, and it seems like they're setting the market for relief pitching now. I don't think if they do acquire a reliever in June, I don't anticipate it being like Mason Miller or Aroldis Chapman or anyone earth-shattering. But to be honest, dude, like they don't need that right now. Nope. I've said this before, they need like a right-handed Caleb Ferguson. Remember that guy last year? He was just boringly average, and that's totally fine. That's all they need. Go find someone seventh inning man who is a 3.50 ERA, and he could be your eighth inning man, and you're a better team just by that one addition, and you're looking at giving away like a Murph Gray or somebody in like high A right now. And that's totally worth it.
Get me a Jenmar Gomez, baby.
Yes, a Vin Mazzaro. Now we're just naming dudes.
Go to 82andO.com, by the way, because it's the most fun one.
Good luck to your Knicks tonight.
Yeah, go Knicks.
Go New York, go New York, go.
Thanks, buddy. This was fun. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, see you. That is Noah Hyles of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I like that guy.
Me too. I went 11-6 the last one.
I just went 17-3. How about that?
That's pretty good.
That was on 20andO.com.
Is that with defense?
That's with defense. Yeah. I wound up with like Elvis Dumerville from the year where he had 20 sacks.
The Ravens?
Yeah. I mean, I think it was with the Broncos when he exploded. When he had like a 19 sack season. My edge rushers, they drove the bus for me, but now I can't remember who the other one was because I've clicked off it. Now I'm looking at the 1960s Atlanta Hawks. Were they even the Hawks? Bob Pettit, 28 points per game.
1960.
17 rebounds per game. Are you kidding me? You're going to be my power forward. All right, we'll react to some of what Noah had to say coming up next. Just what would you be willing to give up for a reliever? You're going to have to overpay if you're going to do it now. How far are you willing to go with that? 412-928-9370. That is the number to call. We also have a Fan Cash Friday. Whoa! Sorry, I was chewing my protein bar there, Dorm.
Nice.
And now I'm addicted to 82andO.com. I built two teams, 64-18 and 63-19. Progress is slow, but we're in it for the long haul. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Thanks to Noah Hyles for jumping on. He didn't make me feel all warm and fuzzy about Connor Griffin. He's like, anytime that you're dealing with something like that, there's a little bit of concern. He would not call it panic, so I guess that's a good sign. But I'm starting to worry a little bit about what's going on with KG. I mean, everybody we talk to is sort of hedging their bets on it. Like, yeah, they expect him back, but you just never know. And boy, I'll tell you what, that is, let's say, and God, I don't know that this is the case, haven't heard anything like this or anything, but man, if he were to get hurt and be out for a considerable amount of time, I mean, that's why you sign these deals. And like Skeens, man, like you never know. you never know when you could get hurt. And I mean, Griffith's not a pitcher.
I know, right?
And you're dealing with forearm and elbow stuff. Like, you just don't know. Now, I know that Shohei Ohtani got the Tommy John and then was still able to hit and unable to pitch. But, man, it does worry a little bit. Yes, Harry.
I went 15-5. Take that.
I went 17-3. Take that. Give us your roster.
I went 69-13 in NBA.
How about that? I bet I was better than that.
I like the number 69. It's a good reflection.
For God's sakes.
Oh, come on.
Aaron Rodgers, a quarterback from the Green Bay Packers. Yeah. Adrian Peterson, running back, Minnesota. Julio Jones, wide receiver, Atlanta. Shannon Sharp, tight end from the Ravens in 2001. Darren McFadden, flex player. Thurman Thomas, 91 Bills.
How did you lose any games?
Nick Perry on the edge. Fred Robbins, Rams defensive tackle. Anthony Simmons, linebacker, 2001 Seattle. Richard Sherman, cornerback, 2012 Seattle. Antoine Winfield Jr., 2020 Tampa Bay. And then Al Harris, defensive player.
Wow. That's a good roster.
That's
right
there. Great roster.
I mean, that offense ain't losing games.
No.
What are you talking about? Rodgers throwing it up to those guys? Come on now. Now, Noah said, yeah, of course you can get relief help. Now you're just going to have to overpay. And I'm okay with an overpayment. I was thinking, like, Tamar Johnson, for me, absolutely would not be untouchable. Now, how much could he really garner in a trade? You're going to have to probably, you know, package a couple of prospects. Your top two are Seth Hernandez and Edward Florentino. Edward Florentino has absolutely massive power, and Seth Hernandez is the number three prospect in all of Major League Baseball. I would not move one of those guys. Anybody else in the right deal, I think they can be had, man. Like, what did Noah say? That this team has one weakness? Yes. This team has playoff caliber starting rotation with two aces atop the thing. You've got a top five lineup in all of Major League Baseball. Your one Achilles heel is your bullpen. If you had won those five games that we talked about yesterday, where you had an 88 expected winning percentage or better, you are ahead of the Brewers right now in the standings.
Yes.
So I'm willing to overpay, and I think this team, if it gets into the postseason, is incredibly dangerous because the bullpen, which is an issue, is going to get bolstered by starters that you no longer need to be starters whenever you get to a short series. Like, this team could make a run, man. But I'd like to see them win the division.
They can.
They can if they act fast enough.
Yes.
So, like, Tamar Johnson, like, you're going to probably lose Brandon Lau at the end of the season, which stinks. I don't think it's 100% certainty that you lose him, but I think it's probably more likely than not he's not a Pirate next year. And Tamar Johnson could be in their plans at second base, but how about this? What if you utilize Nick Gonzalez as your second baseman moving forward?
Yes.
And then you go out and you try to acquire a third baseman?
Yes.
Like, Nick Gonzalez has now played his way back into my future at the middle infield. Is there any price too high to pay, Pirates fans? 412-928-9370 to go out and get relief help. We want your calls on this. And now, Doran, you tell the people about a little Fan Cash Friday.
Fan Cash Fridays are powered by Fanatics Sportsbook, America's fastest growing sportsbook. Be the 10th caller. That's the 10th caller for a chance to win $100 in Fan Cash from Fanatics Sportsbook every Friday. Winning hits different here. 10th caller, Callis. On let's put them through in the next segment about what their best prediction of the Pirates record in these next six games. Best prediction of the Pirates record against the Braves, three game series, and then against the Dodgers at home, three game series, best record of the sixth game. So that will be next.
We got two different deals going on right now at 412-928-9370. We want to know what you'd be willing to give up for relievers. But our guy Steve here, Doran, has called for the Fan Cash Friday. What, a prediction for what the Bucks are going to do against Atlanta and the Dodgers?
Correct. Steve, you're on the air. Steve, what's your best prediction? What's the record going to be in these next six games?
Hey, Adam. I listen to every show every day, all three shows. I drive a truck.
Oh, man.
My prediction's 4-2.
I like it.
Just because the Dodgers are going to be a problem.
Steve, it sounds like you're really buying into these Buccos, buddy.
Yeah, I wasn't in the beginning, but they're doing well. So,
all right,
for the call. Put him on hold.
Put him on hold, Callis. 4-2. I like it.
If they go 4-2, there's going to be a fever pitch around here, man. The Bucko fever. You're going to have Richie Walsh every night being like, oh, I got Bucko fever. Oh, my God. But I know that they had such a terrible loss the other day, but what they've done a bunch this year, like we've talked about all these quote unquote worst losses of the season. They do always punch back. Like, it was as bad as it gets the other day. I mean, Skeens didn't pitch well. And then the bullpen totally craters. And then you go quietly in the ninth inning. And Joe Block sounded like he just like backed over his dog in the driveway. And they come right back. They put up 5 runs. They get the piggyback thing to work. Jared Jones looked like his old self. Karma Majinski looked like a happy camper again. And you win a series on the road. They're now 2 games over 500 on the road.
Mm-hmm.
They're 16-14. We said it coming into the year. Just go 500 on the road, and you've got a chance to make the playoffs. They've been better than that. They need to pick it up at home a little bit more. But if you buy into the Pirates, I don't disagree, man. I think they're 2 relievers short of being a legitimate contender. But I think they're among the contenders, even with a bad bullpen. I think they've shown that through 61 games. 412-928-9370. Texter writes in, does Seth Hernandez make Chandler expendable? If he were closer to the big leagues.
Yeah.
If Hernandez was knocking on the door and the thought was he could be a September call-up, not in the bullpen, but as a starter, or he was expected to make the rotation coming out of spring training next year, then yeah. But his estimated arrival on MLB.com is 2028, and as a starter, that might be the case.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I don't think so. They've got better starting pitching depth than I thought they did coming into the year because Majinski has proven that he can do it if you need to put him back in. And I think in a pinch, if a couple times through their rotation you need Wilbur to do it, I'm okay with that. He's stretched out, and he's an average starter in AAA, but that could get you a couple of times through the rotation, and Barco's pitched better down there. It's better than I thought, but not so good that I'm trading big-time pitching prospects. 412-928-9370. Did I say a different Hernandez? Someone said more like Seth Hernandez. His name's Seth.
Seth.
Yeah.
You said Aaron.
I called him Aaron Hernandez.
No, you said Seth.
I don't think I would have made the Aaron Hernandez mistake. Come on now. Brad and Punxsutawney, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys, doing well. Thanks for taking the call.
Awesome to hear it.
Let me start off with, I hope if the ball bounces well for us during the next 2 series as we can get out 3-3.
They're definitely not overmatched. Like, I know that the Dodgers won the World Series, and Atlanta's the hottest team in baseball and the best team in baseball right now, but the Pirates have been playing pretty good ball themselves.
I agree. I just think, you're in this series, and if we get a few breaks, maybe you could get to a 4-2. But I think if they can get out 3-3, and then my next part I wanted to bring up is I don't know how much it would take, because I think the Red Sox probably are ready to start the fire sale, to see potentially of getting a Chapman back at this stage of the year with what's left in his contract. I think I figured it might cost us $6.5 million or whatever, but it might be able to move some people around.
They can definitely afford him. There's no question
and the one
about
thing
that.
I've noticed with Soto, and when Soto's been good, he's been really good. But his rough outings is when he's bounced back from like a second day of throwing 2 in a row, or and I felt bad because the night before we had to use him and to close up game 1. But it just if you could maybe add like a Chapman, then I think you could move some people around in the bullpen.
Well, the Red Sox, and thank you for the call, Brad, really appreciate it. There's some other people we need to get to too. The thing about the Red Sox is they spend so much money. They want to contend. They want a power bat back in return in a potential Chapman deal. That's everything that I've read. The only guy that you could conceivably give them is Marcell Ozuna, and does that move the needle for them? I would think probably not. And they're only as bad as the Red Sox have been this year. At 26-35, they're 3.5 games out of a playoff spot because the AL is mid, man. Mid at best. You have the Athletics currently holding a wild card spot at 30-32. You have the Chicago White Sox in a wild card spot. Shh, quiet. 4 games over .500. Like, the Red Sox are 3.5 games out despite being 9 games under, and they don't want to wave the white flag on their season yet. Like, Detroit, they're 5.5 out of a wild card spot. They're going to get Scooble back. Do they want to see that through or not? They want to trade him? Probably. So maybe there's something there. But there's a lot of teams in the AL that you would think would be out of it, and they're not because it stinks so bad. And in the National League, everyone's in the dang thing. Everyone's good in the National League. It's insane. Pirates have the number one wild card spot. Then it's the Cardinals. Then the Diamondbacks. The Phillies at 4 games over are on the outside looking in. The Padres at 3 games over are on the outside looking in. The Cubs at 3 games over are outside looking in. The Reds are above .500, outside looking in. The Washington Nationals would have a playoff spot in the American League. They're on the outside looking in, but just 2.5 back of a wild card spot. Everybody save for 4 teams is out of it, or is in it, excuse me, in the National League. So it's tough. You're going to have to overpay.
Yep.
But even still, you still might have teams that say, hey, we love your overpayment, but we still think we got a shot at this thing. Like, are the Mets going to wave the white flag? They're 8 games under. They're 6 games back. That doesn't feel all good, all that great. But, you know, if I were them, they had World Series aspirations. I'm probably going to give it another month before I determine I'm going to start selling. So it's tough out there right now. 412-928-9370. More?
Sure.
Dave! In Trafford, hello.
Hey, what's happening, guys? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Uh-huh. That it is. Hey, you know, looking at the Ace 2, Ace 3 coming into the rotation here over the weekend, I think 2 out of 3 against Atlanta. Coming into the Dodgers series with Skeens, which I wish we could see Skeens v. Ohtani, but yeah. I don't think it's going to happen, right, the way it works out. I'm optimistic. I think I agree with the first caller, 4-2. You know, it's going to be a matter of bounces, though, this coming weekend. I think we're going to see some really good pitching duels Saturday or tonight and tomorrow. So.
Well, tonight's a massive game, I think, Dave. Thank you for the call for Mitch Keller. You know, 2 starts ago was really good, but 3 out of his last 4 have been dreadful. And they need him. They need him.
They sure do.
As good as Chandler was last night, I still look at him as a total wild card. Like, I don't know what he's going to bring me every time. And Bubba Chandler's been a wild card all season.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly not good. What are they, 4-8, and Bubba Chandler starts 4-9? Something like that? 412-928-9370. I'm flabbergasted right now that we got a bunch of Pirates fans calling up saying they're going to go 4-2 in this stretch. They just had the worst loss of the season the night before, 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Pirates fans are always negative, always waiting for another shoe to drop. They just suffered that terrible of a loss, and Pirates fans are bought into this team. I'm not saying
they responded yesterday.
They did. I'm not saying I disagree. I would have thunk that because of the state of the bullpen, more Pirates fans would be like, oh boy, I'm really worried that things are going to start going downhill here against the Braves and Dodgers, and that's not what we're getting. People are fired up. Bucko fever! All right, one more segment, then we're done. Enjoy this beautiful weather.
No doubt.
Fam, weather is brought to you by Secure Money Advisors. Looking to retire soon? Let Secure Money Advisors get your retirement on track. Today, high of 86, low of 57. Tomorrow, high 83, 75% chance of rain. Bucks in Hotlanta tonight, taking on the Bravos. And it's Mitch Keller on the bump for the Bucks. It's Martin Perez on the hill for the Braves. Former Bucko flipped at the deadline last year. And he's been great. He's got an ERA under 3, and I hate the matchup. I hate this softer tossing lefties because you know Marcelo Zuna is going to be in the lineup. I hope that guys like Lau can remain. I think they've proven that they're better than the weird Sunday left-handed lineups that they had thrown out earlier in the season. Keep your regulars in and see if you can get a big swing or two. Texter writes in, these build your team sites are great. There goes the workday. I can't think of a better Friday for everyone out there than listening to 93.7 The Fan all day long and just playing 82-0 and 20-0.com. You were so close.
So close. 75 and
7.
Yep.
And you would have, if you had got a better draw on the last player, the power forward, you were gonna do it. Because who'd you have? Wilt?
I had Wilt, Steph Curry.
So far, so good.
Grant Hill.
Yep.
How do I not remember this?
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But you were one player short. Like, you wound up having to play a power forward who scored like 13 points a game in the 1960s.
Terrible.
He was probably a 5'11" power forward. Probably a white guy.
Yep.
Yeah. Practicing on the peach basket at home. Harry, you addicted to this over there too? Is there a baseball one? There can't be 162-0.com, can there?
That seems unpractical, but you know, what do I know about games of this nature?
Good point. Yeah, there's a 160. There's a 160. Oh, it's a different thing. Don't go. Don't do it. You get spammed. Oh, that was Martin Perez was 2 years ago. That wasn't last year.
Mm-hmm. Rowdy Tellez was 2 years ago. I try to wrap my mind around that. Chapman, same thing.
Who was their random lefty that they added last year? Did they have one?
They didn't. Tommy Pham was their biggest acquisition, really.
Yeah. Well, Spencer Horwitz
healthy. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Texter, Friday, listen to The Fan talk about so many topics, not sports. LMAO. Thanks for another great week, guys. Enjoy the weekend. See you 5 a.m. Monday, as always. And we will talk to you then. All right, time for a little fair game with up-and-coming Steelers insider Nick Faribault joining us here on the PM team, which you can listen to on demand, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Also, the segment is sponsored by Mike's Beer Bar. The Fan Beer of the Month is out. Noblestein Brewing's Donzi Golden Ale and sales benefit the Fan 5 Alarm fundraiser for volunteer fire departments. First of all, Nick, fair game to say that you'll be headed to Morgan Wallen tonight or tomorrow.
I will not actually be at Morgan Wallen. I will be out and about doing other things, but I'm sure it's going to be a great time. I know about a million people, I feel like, that have already texted me asking the same thing. Are you going? Are you going? I am not, unfortunately.
Fair game to say that you do or do... Well, hold on. I just have to ask this one outside the fair game bounds. Are you a Morgan Wallen music fan?
I do listen to Morgan Wallen, and I listen to a lot of country, too, in addition to many other things. So I'm just not going to be there. Honestly, it kind of snuck up on me. I was surprised. Bechtold texted me like yesterday, and I was like, yeah, that's this weekend.
Bechtold.
Oh, Bechtold is going to be, you want to talk about a guy who's going to be surrounded by just the rich and famous, the jet set crowd in their mid-20s. That's Bechtold.
All right, Nick, fair game to say that the Steelers are going to sign Joey Porter Jr. and that they are going to pay him more money than Nick Herbig on his deal.
I think that they will sign Joey, and I do think it's probably going to be north of 25. You know, when I think of what Joey Porter Jr. is going to get, J.C. Horn is being paid $25 billion per year by the Carolina Panthers. And I think it's pretty fair to say that Joey Porter Jr. should probably view himself on an equal plane or higher than J.C. Horn. But I don't think he's going to get more than Pat Surtain, who just got a $5 million raise up to $29 million. Derek Stingley's at 30. McDuffie's at 31. I think he's a tier below those guys. So I think he's going to come in between Horn and Surtain. So somewhere between 26 and 28, I think, is where this lands.
All right, I'll go back to the guy who just did get his contract comped to whatever Porter's going to get, Nick Herbig. Is it fair to say that he and Alex Highsmith and T.J. Watt will all be playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers this year?
I do think that they all end up playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers this year. I think that Highsmith and Watt are a duo that's really kind of tough to totally evaluate what their trade value is right now. It's not totally easy. I think Highsmith, you can say, okay, you can look at the Jonathan Grenard deal that the Eagles got during the draft. Two-thirds, that's the floor for a Highsmith deal, I think. Watt, I don't know. I think you can get a second there. But I don't think they're really going to look to trade one of these edge rushers this offseason. I think it's going to be a next offseason thing. Herbert's extension doesn't kick in until next year. I think if they can, they're going to really just rotate those guys at a higher level, and you're going to see a lot more Nick Herbig and maybe less T.J. Watt to make him a little healthier, a little fresher. Same thing with Highsmith. But I don't think that they trade him this year. I think that they actually rock with all three of them and figure that out in the offseason.
Fair game. I'll follow it up with this. Fair game to say it's better than 50-50 that Alex Highsmith tries to a hold-in at camp this year.
I actually don't think he's going to. I think he's going to maybe try and get a new contract. But I don't necessarily think that has to come with a hold-in. I think it's going to be something that they're going to work out if he wants one. If he wants a raise, I think they can give him that. They've done temporary raises before now. Cam Hayward set the precedent on that one last year when the Steelers gave him a little raise, even if it was just incentives. It was still something. And so they could certainly go to Highsmith right now and say, hey, we'll give you a one-year raise. We'll give you something like, I don't know, we'll give you an extra few million or these incentives to hit to where you can earn more. That might be a temporary solution here to make everybody happy. I don't blame Highsmith if he views himself as being underpaid relative to what the rest of these guys are making. I mean, look at the edge rusher market. It has ballooned. If he was on the open market, he would get probably more than $25 million per year. Herbig might have gotten more than that as well, probably, to be honest with you. And so I don't blame Highsmith if that's the view he takes, but I don't think he's going to really take a viewpoint of trying to hold in or hold out. When he was negotiating his last contract, he did not hold in. He did not hold out. I don't really see that happening. I don't think there's a big fraying in this relationship. I think it's going to be pretty cordial, but we might see that contract adjusted.
Fair game to say, Nick, that Keanu Benton is going to be the odd man out as far as 2023 draft picks go and contracts.
So I think they're going to have a real shot to actually get all four of them done.
Wow.
I think Benton is a tough one, though, because Benton is going to switch to a new role this year where I think he can get more sack production. And you look at some of the contracts, these defensive tackles, like Milton Williams got like 25 per year with a season high of like 4.5, 5 sacks. Benton already has had 5.5 sacks in the season. He doesn't have the run defense necessarily to boast with that, which is going to depress his market. But these interior pass rushers, it's becoming more and more valuable than ever. And he has that skill set. And so that naturally is going to get him a very high floor on this contract. And I think they can get it done somewhere between 16 to 18 million is probably where he would land this
offseason.
Holy
cow.
That's a lot of money, but, you know, Tershawn Wharton got around that. And I think Benton's a better player than Tershawn Wharton. He got 15.1. If I were Benton, I would look at far more money than that. Interior pass rushers are just very, very rich nowadays in how they are getting paid. But I think that's where Benton comes in, 16 to 18 million.
All right. Fair
Hold
game.
Hold on, Nick. I got
Nick
one
Fairbaugh.
More.
Yes,
can I get one? Can I squeeze one more? Fair game to say that in the Steelers' minds, Darnell Washington is tight end one.
That's an interesting one. I think that they view Washington and Freiermuth very evenly. But I do think to a degree, when we're talking about positional versatility, formational versatility, I would say probably yes on that. And the reason is Washington can do anything. He can play inline. He can play out wide. He can be an H-back. Freiermuth's more of a guy that plays out, and he can play a little bit inline, but he's not a great blocker. But Washington is like the prototypical modern tight end. Everyone wants a Darnell Washington on their football team. Look at the run on tight ends in the draft. They're drafting guys like Nate Borkircher and Marlon Klein in the second round, hoping to get one-tenth of the oomph that a guy like Darnell Washington brings to the table. And so I think that's a big reason why I would say yes. The Steelers do view him probably as a slight favorite on the tight end one scale because he could do so much for their scheme.
Nick Fairbaugh not headed to Morgan Wallen with Bechtold. Thank you, Nick. We'll talk again next week. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
Welcome back to Pomp and Joe. Pomp has once again been reduced to a cardboard cutout. There he is. Hopefully you're watching. Hopefully you're watching on YouTube. Numbers skyrocketing over there. Just go to YouTube or go to our website. We'll take you there. You can subscribe. It don't cost nothing. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. And you can communicate with City Limits on the Fan text line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Let's bring on Pirates reporter Jason Mackey. Jason, we had a little route. Where are you right now?
I'm not walking around Atlanta, Joe. I'm doing an old man walk.
Are you?
So I'm on a street corner. Yeah.
You know what would be a good story? I mean, it's a horrible story, but a good story would, because we have always talked about in this town the torture, and for a lot of people around here, their worst sports moment was Sid Bream. I wonder how that's remembered in Atlanta, Mackie. That might be a great story out there.
It would be a great story. It would be. I love how your brain works, Joe. I don't know if I want to revisit that today, though, but it would be a great story.
Come to think of it, maybe nobody does. Where is Francisco Cabrera these days, I wonder?
I don't care. Yeah. I hope he's having a very nice time, but if I don't have to relive that moment, that would be great.
Neither do I, come to think of it. All right, we had a little round table the other day. It was myself, Limits, Mac Clement, and Dr. Daniel Zangrilli, and we batted around this some big picture questions. O'Neill Cruz is having a hell of a year. He looks like a matured hitter this year. What would it take to sign him long term? And do you think the Pirates have any interest right now in trying to get that done? Are there talks going on?
No talks that I know of, Joe. Now, would they have interest? Sure. I'd imagine he's been a productive player. They would have interest in keeping the player around. Where that falls money-wise, whether they can fit that into something, I don't know. I mean, I agree with you wholeheartedly that his value is skyrocketing, even with the strikeouts and the mature approach at the plate. If that goes where it could go, no, I don't think that lands at a number where the Pirates can fit that. I just think that his power potential, and if you're going to tell me improved plate discipline, he's getting on base more, I just think that probably lands at a place outside the realm of possibilities. But, man, he's been so good on the field. You kind of live with the defense. It hasn't been perfect. You live with the occasional base running mistake. Sorry for the motorcycle behind me. But the power, it's been nuts, man. He's getting on base a ton too. How about that? The walks recently have really stood out.
Yeah, and grinding out at bats for singles and stuff like that is and of course against lefties, it just all looks different. So our friend the Limitless Wonder here. I mentioned the same thing about Skeens in the context of would a salary cap help you sign these guys? What a huge story that the owners put forth a salary cap in a proposal for the first time since 94. And in it, Jason, they basically told the world we are willing to command our teams at the bottom end to spend at least $170 million. That's the big Pittsburgh news in there to me, really, is that all of a sudden, they're going to have to spend even if you don't get a salary cap now, that cat's out of the bag. If I'm the players, I'm like, all right, you just said they can spend 170. Now, I realize that would only be, through splitting up local TV and other revenues. But bottom line, would a salary cap enable them to reel in Skeens and or Cruz?
I mean, that's what I wanted to jump in and say, Joe, that I do think that's a game changer for the Pirates. If that proposal would pass. Now, we can have a separate discussion about how I think it's dead on arrival with the players, and I disagree with that mindset and all that. But, I mean, if you're telling me that would pass with the salary cap and the revenue sharing and everything like that, that is fantastic. I mean, that would be a game changer. Yes, that would enable them to keep one, I don't know, both, whatever. I mean, Skeens is going to command the most money ever free agent wise for a pitcher. That might still be kind of, just not smart spending because they can backfill it. But can that start a conversation with O'Neill Cruz? Yeah. I fantasize about something like that, Joe, where you have the cap and the floor and the revamped revenue sharing, because I think it would be the best thing for the sport. I just worry whether that would ever come to fruition. I don't know if there's a pathway there for the players to agree.
Well, the players just seem to parrot this idea, no salary cap. Absolutely not. Yep. No, not a non-starter. You talk to the guys in that room. Are the guys who aren't stars aware that a cap would be good for them?
Honestly, man, this is going to probably surprise people. They're not as aware with a lot of the stuff as you would think. It's very much focused on baseball. I do think there are some guys in that room that would be open to the discussion. I think that they understand if you redo all of it, because that's what this is going to take. It's going to take just not nips and tucks. If they do nips and tucks, they might as well not even bother. But if you blow up the economic structure and look at league revenue and, you know, just the total piece of the pie, how it's being split up. Like a guy like Henry Davis, for instance, like he would be able to internalize that and think about it and realize like what's for the good of the game. And I say Davis, you know, not for his ability on the field, just like his ability to think.
Who's the player rep there?
I mean, it's Davis. It's Davis. Hmm. And Skeens is on the, what do they call it? This executive subcommittee. There's like a sub council there. So Skeens has a role too. It's the two of them.
I'm curious, Jason, like just diving into the cap floor. Let's say that the players did give in at some point. Would that be because that the salary cap that they're discussing maybe goes towards $300 million? I just find it hard to believe now that once the owners said 176 is the floor or 171 is the floor, that any number would go any lower than that.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. I mean, nobody would be lobbying for 170. You know, nobody's going to come out there and say, well, we need the floor to be 110. I think the piece of the pie here, Austin, that really makes this work for me is the revenue sharing. Because, I mean, if you blow up revenue sharing and change things for small market teams, $170 million is a little different for the Pirates. You know, and the top end, I can't really speak to that because we don't deal with it. But I know that's a concern in Pirates land is how you're divvying up like league-wide revenue and whatever. And it seems like from that owner's proposal that they're willing to do that. And if they're willing to do that, I think that's going to be a much different discussion. I had the same observation you did. I don't know how that would work. Like, it seems like that would be tough to tamp down. But you're going to know, you know, if you're doing that, probably the upper echelon teams, the big market teams, are going to want that to be higher than it was too. So
I feel like a lot of the times people are on the side of the players. But Jason, I don't think it's arguable that seeing both proposals that were put out there, I'm on the side of the owners and a lot of people are on the side of the owners.
I agree with you. I think that's a unique thing in this discussion, Austin. I mean, people want to see baseball look like other sports. They want to see baseball have fair, competitive balance. That's a, like, they don't begrudge players for getting paid. It's not like anybody's taking a haircut in the other leagues. The stars get paid. And to Joe's point, I mean, it works better for the player population writ large. With something like this, it's just the loudest voices there are the ones opposed to the salary cap because they benefit from it. I would like to see, you know, the players as a whole realize what benefits all of them, but that's also not my grass to mow, as Dan Zangrilli would say.
Yeah, I mean, just to simplify it, what you just did, if I'm a baseball player, all I have to do is say, what are the best players doing in other sports? I mean, my God.
I know.
Look at the NFL, look at the NBA, and look at the NHL. They're raking in money. Anyway, I have other questions for you. Connor Griffin. I noticed he took ground balls yesterday but didn't throw. Is there any cause to be – how long is he going to be out? Is there cause to be majorly concerned here or no?
I chatted with Griffin briefly, Joe. I mean, I've not seen him throw in Houston. Now we're in Atlanta. We'll see if he throws here. He's optimistic that it's not going to be too long. He's optimistic that shortly after he comes back, that he's going to be able to get back in there. I don't know, man. Like, I want to see the guy throw and see how it feels.
Yeah.
My sense is that this isn't 10 days, but that's just from not watching the guy throw. He could pick up a ball in Atlanta and start waiting. Yeah, I mean, but he could pick up a ball in Atlanta and it changes everything. But as of now, right now, watching how cautious they are with him, I just worry that this is going to be, you know, we're back as soon as you're eligible. I think it might be a little bit longer.
Are you okay? Are they okay with Gonzo as the everyday third baseman the rest of the year?
I think as of now they are, Joe. What? Mean, if he's hitting over 300.
I couldn't lose you? Now I got you.
Okay. I mean, as of now, they are. I don't see any reason not to. I mean, I guess you could look for an external upgrade, but right now, it's hitting over 300. The defense, I would argue that that's an outlier. The defense, like, it hasn't been elite. I mean, he's not Key Brian Hayes over there, but it hasn't been like you could almost be charged with three errors in a game and butcher a fourth play bad. I think they'll probably roll with him over there as long as he keeps hitting.
What is wrong with Santana? Is it fixable? And how long are they willing to wait?
I think it's fixable, Joe. I question whether there's an injury in there. I have not seen him being around the team every day. I've not seen him, you know, dealing with the trainers an exorbitant amount. I talked to him in Toronto, and he was talking about his, like, not getting into his back leg and sort of his rhythm was off and that sort of thing. I am watching pitches that, you know, are typically sharper. A lot of his stuff looks flat. I don't know if his arm is tired. I'm surprised he doesn't randomly have an IL stint, whether that's real or just a way to get him away. I think where they're at in their bullpen, they have to take the chance in getting him right. But yes, I mean, it hasn't been good. They're putting him in, you know, like lopsided late game situations to try to build his confidence. He's not able to get out of those. So if their bullpen was better, they might be in trouble. But right now, their bullpen is not better. So they can kind of ride it out with them.
I just want to clarify one thing, Jason. They don't think that this elbow injury with Connor Griffin is anything like the Andy Rodriguez elbow injury, correct?
Not from what I've seen or heard, no.
Because it seems like they're being overly cautious, like this was the Russell Wilson calf injury with the blocking sled.
It does. It does. And that's why I'm saying what I'm saying. Like, it seems like, based on what we've seen, that he's not terribly close and that they're exercising caution. And he even said that, too. We chatted with him briefly during batting practice, that they're just trying to be careful and whatever. And, like, I mean, I get that. I absolutely get that. So I want to see him throw. Until a guy's throwing, he's taking ground balls and just, like, you know, flipping the ball into the bucket, like, you kind of get the sense that he's not close. But yeah, I wouldn't compare it to the Andy thing, man. At least not the vibes or what I'm hearing.
Is Carmen Majinski stapled now to every Jared Jones start? Is that the only time that we're going to see him?
I don't think they know. We asked Donnie Kelly about this last night, and I don't mean that, you know, like, I don't think you can know. I think it depends on how they need Carmen and how he gets used. If he's going to throw four innings piggybacking off of Jones, then yeah, he might be. If they need him before then it's going to disrupt that routine. So they're kind of feeling this out. I don't think they have all the answers. I don't think they need to have all the answers. I think you're seeing, you know, Majinski and Dotel used in a different way, and they're going to try to get creative with it. So I don't know, man. I mean, ideally, yeah, I think that probably works. And then Dotel becomes like the piggyback with Chandler. But I think there are probably going to be instances there where you have to break glass and use them. So I don't know how perfect that is to just assume.
So Jeff Passan put something out there on ESPN saying that if there was one guy that could go, it potentially could be Majinski at the deadline. If there's one guy that could come in, it could be the catcher from the Twins. My question is this: how many relievers at the deadline do you think they're going to need to acquire? Because I think the number is three.
Yeah, I saw the Passan thing, man, and I'm not going to criticize Jeff Passan. Like, he's at the top of the field. I really like the guy, but I didn't get that. Like, right now, Andy Rodriguez looks like he's going to stay. At minimum, you have two other guys under contract you're going to play. I didn't understand going to get a catcher when you need the relief help. So I don't know. Three relievers, sure, they can get that. I would take one or two for a starting point. I'm not going to turn them down. I mean, it's very clearly the weakness of this team. I think there's only so much you're going to do defensively. The offense is really good. I have no problem with the starting staff. You got to fix the bullpen, man. Like, I'd like to see him go out and get somebody now. I know the Majinski thing worked out. I know Dotel worked out, but they need right-handed late inning relief pitching. And I know it's tough out there. You're not going to get a lot of teams willing to trade a reliever, but my goodness. I mean, if you're going for it, this is the time to do it. This is the time to give up some prospects and try to get relief help.
Who's the most likely guy they could get right now?
Oh, geez. You're putting me on the spot.
Limits. I mean, there's a whole league out there. Is he supposed to answer which guy they're supposed to get?
Maybe he has a target in mind.
Jeez, Jason. I apologize on behalf of the show.
No, you shouldn't be apologizing. The people are wondering, who can the Pirates have fixed the bullpen?
Some obscure middle reliever from the Colorado Rockies. Some team out of it who's willing to make a trade.
He could have just said Aroldis Chapman, Joe.
I mean, he could have.
I don't think Aroldis Chapman helps them as much as some other guys, man. Like,
what?
I want a right-handed reliever.
I don't care if he's right-handed or kicking the ball to home plate. He's Aroldis Chapman.
What about that guy, Pat Vendetti, or what was his name? Jason, that threw left-handed and right-handed?
The two-handed pitcher?
Yeah, I mean, I'll take him.
Get
Joe,
him.
That's not what I meant. I didn't mean I'd turn away Aroldis Chapman by any stretch. I'm just saying that, like, I don't know what I'm saying. Go get a reliever. That would be great.
Yeah, or two.
Right-handed, left-handed.
or kicks three.
I'm going to ask you a question that maybe has never been asked in Pittsburgh before, but is actually legitimate. What's wrong with Paul Skeens?
it's interesting, man. I've heard the theories about his biomechanics and body movement. I don't know if I'm smart enough to process that. I don't know if I need to. I've seen him be more pinpoint with his execution than he's been. I want him, in a way, to sort of just think less. I think Paul can kind of be his own worst enemy sometimes, where he's trying to be so fine and be so perfect. I see some of that. And I see a guy that, and when I say this, please don't take this and make it a huge deal, but like, he's worked a lot. He does a lot. The World Baseball Classic, he puts everything into these starts. Like, I know I see him, 4 hours before the start doing something every single day, always doing something. Like, I wonder if it's not just, dial it back just a little bit. Try to take it back just a little bit and preserve some rest. Like, he looks like somebody that just might, he's pitched a lot and he's pitched at a high volume.
Was the World Baseball Classic a bad idea? And is it affecting him?
I don't know if it's affecting him. I think a lot of things with the work, I mean, he's worked so darn much and, maybe he'll go out there Tuesday and stick it to me and that's fine. That would be great. I don't think it's a bad idea, Joe. I love it. I love the World Baseball Classic. I think they should do it and I think he should do it. I'm not questioning it, but I'm just saying that, I think backing off with that in mind might not be the worst idea because he just looks a little worn down.
If I had told you before the season that we would be, whatever it is, 12 starts in for Skeens in the second week, first week of June, and he hadn't thrown one pitch 100 miles an hour, would you be surprised? And would you think that was a story?
I guess I would think it's a story. I mean, I know a little bit of why Paul's doing what he's doing. Like, he's not trying to light up a radar gun with the full season in mind. He's one of those guys that thinks very seriously about, they're going to be playoff baseball and he needs to pace himself or whatever. So I don't know if I'd say it's a story. It would certainly surprise me. I'm a little surprised that there are times where he just doesn't dial it back and blow heat by guys because he can. But I get the reasoning why. It's just, I think it's probably time for a little bit of an adjustment with Skeens. And I know it's very easy to, for us to sit here and say that, but I can't imagine he's terribly thrilled with the results, and we've seen him pitch differently, so I wouldn't be surprised if he changes.
Limits, do you have a final question for Jason Mackey?
Yeah, I do. Jason, how long am I going to have to watch Jared Triolo top the ball to shortstop before Connor Griffin comes back? Jason, he sometimes does hit the ball like a little bit the other way, and he'll drop in a couple of bloop singles, but oh my gosh. He's a very nice man, Jason. I've met him once.
He is.
But...
yes.
Oh my gosh! Sometimes I just, with all the joy of the offense, that's the one thing. When I see Jared Triolo coming up to the plate, I have a frown.
Once again, he's being miscast. They're asking him to do things for which he's not capable. He is a perfectly fine utility backup infielder, the 26th man on the roster. I think we've seen that enough. I trust Jared Triolo defensively. I trust him on my roster. It's just, if you're looking for power there, it's been kind of a rough go, and he is a very nice man.
Like doubles, I'm looking for singles. I'm looking for balls in play.
I know, but right now he's the best shortstop they can throw out there, and they don't really need the offense. They're getting offense from other places, so I don't know. I'm content to leave it and just hope Connor Griffin gets back soon. I don't think Triolo is going to keep his position from him.
I'm looking at Skeens. It's very interesting to me. The WHIP is the lowest of his career. At 0.91, and yet I also look, his rookie year, he made 23 starts and allowed 29 earned runs. This year, he's already allowed 24 earned runs in just 13 starts. Then I look at his strikeouts per nine innings. He's down from his rookie year, but up a tick from last year in strikeouts per nine innings that I would not have guessed. I don't know what it all adds up to. I don't even care. Thank you, Jason.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
See you, buddy. Yep. I don't know what to make of all that, Limits, the Skeens thing. But the walks and hits per innings pitch, that's a pretty significant indicator of how good somebody is. And it's the best of his career right now.
Yeah, his walks have been pretty good. I think there was one start he had two or three. But
bad luck? Is he a victim of bad luck so far, more than anything?
Partially. Think about that game in Toronto when Jared Triolo booted a ball. Think about that game in Houston when Nick Gonzalez had a ball go right past his glove. They rolled it a double when it should have been an error. If it was at home, it probably would have been ruled an error. And that's another run charge to him. And that also continues his outing and makes him throw more pitches. And we've seen longer at-bats against Skeens. I think even though he has an entire kitchen sink of seven pitches that he can throw at you, maybe he, I don't know, do you think he's being a little bit too cute with some of the pitches he's throwing?
Maybe it's just bad luck. I don't know. I don't know what he's doing. The other thing that's way up is his strikeouts per walk is way up.
Yeah, because the walks are down this year.
Maybe in the end, he's trying to induce too much contact, and he should just rear back a little bit and try and strike people out, because if the idea behind inducing contact is to last longer in games, it ain't working. And if he can rear back and throw 100 anytime he wants, like Jason said, and like a lot of us have believed, then why hasn't it happened once? It's just weird. That's an odd story to me. I don't know.
Yeah, he's topped out at 99.5.
Opponent's batting average, it's the same. 189 or 198, 199, 198. There's no difference in those 3 years. None whatsoever.
Teams this year are only hitting 163 against his fastball. What are they hitting? The split finger, the splinker, 364.
Then stop throwing the splinker, average. I would suggest. Now, who am I to suggest anything to Paul Skeens?
The sweeper,
I strike that.
Only a 154 batting average. He's only thrown 10 curveballs this year.
Then throw more curveballs. But who am I to suggest anything to Paul Skeens?
Nobody has gotten a hit off the curveball yet.
Then throw more curveballs. Curveballs, fastballs, and sweepers.
So last year, Skeens threw his fastball 39% of the time. He's only throwing it 36% of the time this year.
I mean, that's pretty much the same.
The sweeper is the exact same. The only difference is he's throwing the curveball significantly less. He's throwing the slider less. He's throwing the sinker more, another 4 percentage points more. And he's throwing the changeup significantly more. Last year at 10.9%, this year 16.9%. The changeup is his second most used pitch. He's a fastball changeup guy.
I don't care. What do you have? Okay. What do you have?
The year deep to right field, right down the line. This ball will sneak out of here. It's a home run for Ryan O'Hearn, a two-run homer right over the wall and right. And the Pirates erupt for three very quickly here in the sixth.
Yeah, you can't keep them down, man. This Pirates offense is awesome.
Money.
It wasn't exactly the lumber company yesterday. But last year, my God, for them to score four runs, we would have held a party in the street. And with one swing of the bat, Ryan O'Hearn puts the game not out of reach, as we've seen with this Pirates bullpen, but gave him some breathing room. Brian Reynolds drove in a run. O'Neill Cruz all of a sudden is walking a bunch. He got a hard hit off a lefty, which is just something that we've grown accustomed to seeing. And it was now the 11th straight game the Pirates have had a home run. That is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe where they are now compared to where they were before. And if you could just get a reliever or two, I think you could be among baseball's elite. 412-928-9370, the hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Speaking of elite, that's what you got on tap now. You got three with the Bravos, and then you got three at home with the damn Dodgers. And this is it, baby. This is a measuring stick. And the last real measuring stick I thought for the Pirates was against the Phillies, and it didn't go well.
Nope.
They blew the first game and then really got their doors blown off in the next two. And the Phillies, while they were still fighting to get back to over 500 at that point, they've got an elite roster, and they've really been playing elite baseball since that point. What do they need to do, these Buccos? Like, are we at the point where we can say, hey, find a way to win four of these games?
Yes. Man. I mean, if we were going to have the conversation a couple of days ago that they're a top 10 team and then maybe a top 5 team in baseball, yes, you got to win a decent amount of these games. I mean, these are the two teams that would be above you and are in the same realm.
Yeah, I'm not looking for moral victories anymore.
No.
Now,
If you do, well, am I going to double talk real quick here? If you win just one in Atlanta, you have gone 3-3 on this road trip, and they haven't had a losing road trip yet. I mean, I do think that, you can live with that, but I'm not looking for moral victories. Find a way to win these series.
Yes.
You're good enough.
Yes. They beat the Dodgers last year, didn't they?
They always beat the Dodgers. Right. So, it's weird.
It is very weird. I mean, to come back home, you get to play, you play the Dodgers. Yeah, I mean, if you go 3-3 in this road series, yeah, that's fine. But yeah, find a way to win. Find a way to win the series against the Braves and come back home and, you know, measure up. Try to measure up to the Dodgers.
At the very least, if you split the road trip, you go 1-2 in these three games up coming against the Braves. Find a way to beat the Dodgers at home in 2 out of 3.
Yes,
but I want to see that they belong, because my eyes are telling me, and statistics are telling us, that this team does belong. Yeah, bullpen bad. We know that. But the Pirates have one of the best lineups in all of Major League Baseball, and their starting rotation's been very good. And statistically, they do compare pretty favorably to some of these best teams in the sport. What I mean by that is the Bucks are now 7-3 in their last 10. They've won 5 of 6. They're in the number one wild card spot right now. How about that? Second in the division, just 4.5 back of the Brewers. All of a sudden, the NL Central starting to come back down to the earth, come back down to the pack a little bit. But the Pirates have the 5th best run differential in the league. The Dodgers and the Braves are the top two. When you look at run differential, it's the Yankees. It's the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Braves. It's the Brewers. And then it's the Pirates. Folks, they belong. And so losing 4 of these 6 games, I expect better than that.
Yes.
And don't look now. I do think, that we're getting Ohtani Skeens on Tuesday.
Oh, my goodness.
We got to go.
Yes.
We got to go. It's Hall of Famer via Hall of Famer.
Yes.
Harry, you going? Are we going Tuesday night?
I think I was umpire that night.
Skeens, Ohtani, call off sick. Mm. This is a time. I will not bail on you this time.
Mm-hmm. I won't either.
No, this is big time. This is a big deal. Like, I would love to be there. Would hate to miss out on an opportunity to see that. And don't look now, but I believe if the playoffs started today, that it would be Dodgers-Bucks.
So look at this. It's perfect.
It's ironic. I'd have to call off for Mount Lebo. I'm going to be there.
You're going to be in Lebo?
Yeah.
What field?
Dixon.
Oh, I love Dixon Field. Some of my best memories of my 6th grade baseball team were at Dixon Field. This kid, Chris Littman, was the only kid in the league that could hit one out there. And they had a kid on their team also who threw sidearm in like 70 miles an hour. They were a B.I. you know what to play against. I was going to spell the word. You can't do that.
Nope.
What an idiot. Awesome. Great memories there. You play under the lights. There was a fence.
Which one's Dixon Field?
It's on Cochran Road at the bottom of Greenhurst, right next to the high school.
Don't know.
I was actually going to say you should come, but yeah, I mean, I can't miss.
I would rather, no offense, watch Ohtani Skeens.
No, I'm not saying you should change your opinion.
I love you. I've never loved you more than I love you right now. You've been excellent.
What age is it?
It's 10U and 12U. I got back-to-backs.
So you would
be Bostic's kid.
Oh.
Probably.
And it's a night game?
Well, 6 and 8 o'clock in the morning doesn't seem like it makes sense for kids, but yeah.
You're umpiring at 6 and 8 in the morning on Tuesday?
No.
That was
joking.
It was a dumb question.
I don't know if they're playing at 5. I
said 6 and 8.
I mean, they could play at like 12.
But I said 6 and 8. I got a 6 and 8.
Man, school's out for the summer now, Harry.
I said a 6 and an 8. That
I didn't
means
listen.
6 o'clock and 8 o'clock.
I wasn't listening. It's my fault. Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Do you think the Bucks can win 4 out of 6 games in these next 6? How much do you believe in this team? I guess the question would be, like, if you believe that they can win a series in Atlanta and then win a series at home against the Dodgers, you must really believe in them. Are they punching above their weight class? Or do you think they're for real? We're about to find out.
Listen to the Pop and Joe Show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Car of the Week from the Baseball Car Castle in Cranberry. Contest run every Wednesday through Friday at noon. Just an hour and change away at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Austin Bechtold with you. Joe Starkey in the car. Minutes away from being back in the studio. Sunny and a high of 86. Who is that today, Joe?
Hines Ward, who should be in the Hall of Fame limits, and thank you for asking.
And a low of 66. Mario Lemieux.
Alan, well, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or Alan Faneuil. A lot of Hall of Famers. Fan weather runs it out.
Why would he come to my mind first when 66 is obviously Mario? I'm a little discombobulated, Limits. Go ahead.
Well, it's because football's on your mind today, Joe. We started the show talking Steelers. Hines Ward is Steelers. A low of 66, it's Mario Lemieux. Fan weather brought to you by Secure Money Advisors. Looking to retire soon. Let Secure Money Advisors get your retirement on track. Ray Fittipaldo 20 minutes away, Joe. This should be interesting to hear about the Steelers' trip to Kennywood yesterday. Do you think Ray went and covered that?
Man, would I love to cover that. I saw Iannachor was ready for what? What's that Steeler roller coaster called
the
now?
The Steel Curtain.
The Steel Curtain. Can you imagine him on that? He said he had never been on a roller coaster before.
What do you think it's like for offensive linemen to go on a roller coaster? Like, could you imagine Darnell Washington in the roller coaster seats? Like, he is a mountain.
Yeah. Would he fit?
I know. I don't know.
Well, I hate roller coasters. I know that. Guess what else happened to me on the way down here, Limits?
Hold on. You hate roller coasters?
Yeah. Don't a lot of people? They're scary. I hate that feeling of going up real slow, knowing that you're going to be tortured when you get to the top.
I mean, to be honest, I don't like roller coasters that go upside down. So when I went to Cedar Point, it wasn't a great adventure. I like the Thunderbolt because it's a good wooden coaster, the Jackrabbit, the Racer. You know, they're thrillful rides, but they're not too thrillful for my liking, if that makes sense.
It doesn't. I always call over the attendant and make sure that I'm locked in because I know I am going upside down, and all I can picture is myself flying out of the roller coaster. So I'm the guy who calls the attendant over to make sure I've locked in properly.
I can hear it now. Excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me. Am I buckled in? Please. I'm scared. I'm very anxious of this ride. Please. I need an extra seatbelt. Please give me a second or a third and a pillow and something to cry on if I need to once we get to the top.
My mom taught me all these lessons. She once stopped a bus we were on from Long Island to New York, made the bus driver pull over because she thought he was drunk and wanted to make sure he wasn't. So, listen, you can never go too far to err on the side of safety limits.
That's true.
I'll tell you that much.
I agree with
that. What happened to me?
What?
The Fort Pitt Tunnel had a red light. I came up to a red light at the Fort Pitt Tunnel. What is going on here? And it was only because somebody, one of these guys, had to pull out so he can go, you know, recruit more of his henchmen to close 35 more roads in the South Hills limits. Every road I go down is closed.
Is that the most place
what?
Is that the most dangerous road in the entire city, driving on the Fort Pitt Tunnel with like those four different interchanges and exit ramps and
yeah,
all that
it's
fun?
Not good. Although I find generally that people cooperate. Where they don't cooperate is on construction sites. The only place I want to see traffic cones for the rest of my life is the Pirates dugout. Every street I go down, it's under repair. Every single one. Limits?
The road that I was on driving to work today, because I take a couple back roads, they were cutting down trees and trimming bushes, and they had the guy holding the stop slow sign. And I tell you what, if you're not going as slow as they want you to go, they will give you a nice little hand signal, or they will point at you, and they will demoralize you, Joe, in a way.
Yeah, I always give them a nice wave, and I respect the workers, of course, very much.
They do a very difficult job.
I'm just not sure all the projects here are on the up-and-up limits. They've been working on a stretch of 79 since I moved here in 89, for God's sakes.
Did you ever get your fence fixed from that tree?
No, not yet. It's been a little bit delayed. Did we get any calls, Limits? Are there any calls on the line? How do people feel about the Steelers? We feel better about them since the day Mike McCarthy was hired. I don't see how you can feel worse. You know, I think there are reasons for optimism.
Joe, if you continue on for just a moment, I will screen a couple of calls here for you.
All right. You said something else that reminded me of something, but now I forgot, which doesn't make for great radio.
Nice.
Off the top was brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding. Here's the thing. Go ahead. Screen the calls. Is that I don't know if this optimism is not going to get me to predict that they're going to make a big run in the AFC. But here's where it has me. Eagerly anticipating training camp. And I didn't think I'd be in that frame of mind, but I honestly am. I mean, I think there's some stories here. What happens behind Rodgers? How does Rodgers himself look with all these new receivers? What are the new wrinkles with Mutton wrinkles? They're not wrinkles with Mike McCarthy. They're entirely new, you know, bedspreads. They're going to use the middle of the field. They're going to rediscover that it's legal to throw the ball to the middle of the field. What does Bernard look like? What does Pittman look like? Rico Dowdle's a guy who had 1,000 yards with two different teams. I think he's a great pickup. So I'm eagerly anticipating what we're going to see in camp, much more so than last year, much more so than any in recent memory. Maybe going back to Pickett's second year, because sadly, we can't really revise that history. We were all excited going into that second year, weren't we, Limits?
Yeah.
Those were the days. We were young and foolish then. Who's on the line? Should I sit in my car and do this segment, or should I start walking in?
We'll start walking in, Joe, for the fun of it. Let's start with Zach in New Kensington to join the show. Hello, Zach.
Hello. Big fan, guys. Big fan.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, Zach.
Hey, I know I said talk Steelers, but Mixon 5, finals MVP, Josh Hart, he's going to drop a triple-double with 30 points. Go Friday. Love it. Go Knicks.
Well, I guess Zach and New Ken just wanted to add into the confusion today and just drop a Knicks take, even though he said he wanted to talk Steelers.
I like that take. And boy, the finals have been something to behold.
Oh, Jalen Brunson, man. How underrated of a player is he? Terrific.
He's incredible. That's 6'2". He's just incredible.
It's time for Wemby to step up. He was getting pushed around a little bit.
Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Oh, crap. Now I dropped this. Can't eat off it. I got a thing of oatmeal like an hour and a half ago to bring to the Monroeville studio. Now it's turned into an oatmeal brick. There's nothing left of it. Now I have nothing to eat.
It's turned into the Bucko bricks.
It's in a waste disposal out in Aspenwall.
Let's go to our friend Shriver. That will likely get everything back on track.
Hello, Avery.
Yeah, this has been great, Joe. I think you need to do this every morning. Every Friday, do a drive-in. Drive-in with Joe.
What is this, carpool karaoke?
That would be good.
Something else you guys should do is Rodgers or Rooney. You should do a say Rodgers or Aaron Rodgers and Dan Rooney or Art Rooney quotes, and see who it is. They both sound identical, in my opinion. Do you ever hear the two of them next to side by side? Aaron Rodgers and Rooney.
I haven't actually noticed that. I'll listen closer from now on.
Yeah, do a little segment. You can challenge other. Okay, who is this? Rodgers or Rooney? And I wouldn't get it right. You gotta listen to it. I was gonna say I always like to talk Pirates, but as far as the Steelers, I'm always optimistic about them, but I do worry about who our competition is. I think we're gonna be a better team, but we've got an uphill climb when you rest the AFC and the NFC West. So, am I still there?
Yes, Shriver, go ahead.
I wanted to say one baseball thing too before you hang up with me.
Go.
Did you see the Brewers have two relievers down after yesterday? Two good relievers. So, do you think that that might force them to start looking at some bullpen help? And I think the solution for the Pirates is if you bring in a guy like Chapman, if you can get him, pay whatever it takes to get him, that would tell the whole team, hey, we're serious about this. We're bringing in the best closer in baseball. And I think anyone would see him come walk in that door and say, all right, we're supposed to win this year. And if it costs you a lot, it costs you a lot.
Anybody?
Yes, Joe, we can hear you. Thanks, Shriver. I think the –
I think the grand scheme of it is, look, the Brewers are going to lose a couple of guys. The Dodgers at some point are going to lose a couple of guys. Like, everyone's going to be in the market for bullpen help, ultimately, when it comes down to it. The bullpen arms are, A, typically the easiest to acquire because it's not like you're looking for a power-hitting bat to hit fifth in your lineup and play third, or a starting pitcher that you want to be your number two or your number three. When you acquire bullpen help, you're not giving up as much capital as you would be to acquire some of those other pieces or a big-time bat. Right,
what did,
Joe?
What did I miss there?
Hello, welcome back.
I went out for a minute, and
Shriver was saying how the Brewers had two bullpen arms yesterday that got hurt, and that's another team that's going to be looking at bullpen help.
Oh, you can't trade for a reliever this early in the season. How are they ever going to find any help? It's impossible to make a trade this time of year. They're just going to have to wait till the day before the deadline. How are you, Limits?
I'm much better to see your face now.
I feel good. That was weird, wasn't it?
You should. Yeah, that was really strange.
Was it my... Everyone's going to blame me because I'm so technologically inept, but I've been out there before by myself, and I've turned on all the equipment, and the Bowser studio is awesome.
Yeah,
it's not,
you've done
it's
not
it. Their fault.
You've done it plenty of times. I've been able to connect it as well out there. Like, we think that it's a much... it wasn't your fault, pretty much. We don't know what the issue was, but we're working on it.
All right. I'm a little discombobulated. My daughter's graduation party is tonight, just past her old softball fields where she used to play. I don't know. It's bittersweet, Limits. It really is. You can't even imagine it yet, can you?
No. Well, I mean, I can imagine it from her perspective, from when I graduated, you know, not that long ago from high school. I mean, I guess it is about 7 summers ago, but... The feeling of your graduation party, it was one of the best days of my life. Like, she will take this day and remember it for a very, very long time because it's like a wedding where all the people that you care about, all the people that you love are there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's your event. And they're there to see you and talk to you, which is really cool, and help celebrate you.
Well, let me ask you a question, an etiquette question.
Yeah.
Did anybody speak at your graduation party? Or is that, I asked the other day, I'm like, I've got some stuff to say. She's like, no, you don't. You're not talking at this thing. Nobody talks at a graduation party. Is she right?
Well, there's no like specific rule that says that somebody can't.
But it's not common. I thought it was.
So we had it at, we had ours at the house. And, you know, we have a lot of land, and my dad's claim to fame at the graduation party was parking cars every single possible space that he could find in the grass. But, no, I think that that's a very appropriate thing to do. If your setting allows for that, whether it's at, like, a banquet hall.
Is that like a restaurant?
Yeah. But that's a confined space where everyone's going to be. Like, at my house, it was... People were on the front porch, on the back porch. They're outside by the deck.
I've been ordered not to. I've been shut down.
No, I think that you do it anyway.
Well,
you have to.
You're
going to
learn as a parent. That sometimes isn't the way to go.
Were you shut down by your daughter?
Yeah.
No, I think in the name of love, you should.
in the name of love. No, I'm just gonna. I'll be a nice host, and I'll
a nice host.
Save that for her wedding day,
You've organized everything. You've put it all together. You've made this graduation party happen.
No, I did not. Susie
made it happen.
She made it happen. She did everything, literally. I did a couple things, but really not much. All right, Limits. Where are we going? Ray Fittipaldo?
Ray Fittipaldo up next.
Some point we're talking about the piggyback gone well, aren't we, last night?
I think so.
We all made fun of the piggyback, and then Jared Jones and Majinski pulled it off.
What an elite piggyback ride it was, huh?
It really was.
Who would win the piggyback ride?
It's like a Kennywood ride for the Steelers.
Braxton Ashcraft and Wilbur Dotel, or Jared Jones and Carmen Majinski, the piggyback race?
Good question. I mean, that was a hell of a race last night. A great effort by them, and they bounced back from what could have been, I think, a devastating defeat, which they've done a lot of this year, and I respect them for that. Ray Fittipaldo. Up next.
That music means it's time for the biggest football topic of the day in the debrief. With Donnie Football, brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread Company with 100 years of baking experience. Limited edition. And Donnie modeled these beautifully for 93.7 The Fan on Twitter. It was a thirst trap and several divorcees and MILFs were very interested in Donnie after this. These five-alarm T-shirts available at KeystoneCustomApparel.com. A portion of the proceeds go to local volunteer fire departments. The Fan 5 Alarm is presented by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union, brought to you by Zero Res Commercial Cleaning and Myers Law Group. I don't know if this happened to you, either the battery's bad or the smoke detector itself is bad.
I already know where you're
going.
And
my smoke detector was beeping every 30 seconds last night.
Yeah, we had to put new batteries in ours.
It was like my personal hell. It was torture.
Do your dogs hate it?
Yes. Cammy freaks out.
So both Larry and Lance get like really nervous and anxious. And so when it happens, it is like a mad rush for me to like take the thing off, put a new battery on. I don't even care if that's what it needs.
The new battery didn't work, so I had to unplug the thing and then test it on its own.
Yeah.
And the internet told me, based on how it was reacting, that it was a broken... It's dead.
Thingamabob.
But it's not even 5 years old.
Yeah, you got
to
replace
them. Smoke detectors are supposed to be worth 10.
Yeah, 10, because that's what our guy Jake told us yesterday.
I was
going to
say, think about what we learned
department.
Yesterday.
So can I show up to the Chartiers volunteer fire department and say, do you guys
volunteer
have...
Volunteer fire department? Who are you, Bill Cowher?
Can I go to can I go to my local fire department and get another smoke detector?
Do they just provide them?
Do they?
They might check it for you.
I thought I heard. I thought. Did I hear that yesterday?
You might have heard it wrong. You might have heard it wrong. You, Alex.
That also might be like a department to department thing.
Yeah, when we had a one that went bad, Alex just had to order one off the worldwide internet.
How much do they cost?
They're not crazy. Like it might be like 20 bucks. I feel like
pretty underrated thing. You think that they would cost more because of how essential they are?
I know, but I mean, it's essentially like a battery-operated machine. I mean, it's a pretty straightforward thing.
I'll tell you what
else. They told us yesterday, though.
You wouldn't want them to be expensive because you want everyone to be able to afford them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know how if everyone needs one, sometimes there's gouging that goes on.
Well, then you get into private equity, Pony.
So
we can take that offline.
So does the government get involved and make sure that smoke detectors don't go for that much?
That's one of those things that they should put price controls on and make sure are in every house.
How about carbon monoxide detectors?
And then think about radon.
Another big one.
Think about big radon. We have to keep watch on radon.
You have a radon detector?
Oh, we keep an eye and an ear on
radon.
I don't
have a radon one, do you?
I don't have that
one. We got a radon one, Pony. Just like you keep an eye on China, I keep an eye on radon.
So what do those look like?
Yeah, where do you put it?
Just plug it into a wall outlet. Radon can mess your bleep up.
Radon sounds like a robot in like a science fiction movie.
You do not want to mess with radon. I cannot believe we're doing this right now.
Donnie, what do you have in the debrief today?
The debrief, June 5, 2026. We're going to have a little fun, guys. It is a Friday. It's a feel-good Friday, and there is something that is sweeping the nation of men like the Immaculate Grid did a couple of years ago.
I think it's men and women who just love ball, man. If you love ball,
because...
And that's 20and0.com.
It's a classic case of remember some guys. There is now one out for baseball, I discovered. It's 162-0.
It started with a basketball one, which was 82-0.
Yes. And I've heard that unless you get LeBron, Jordan, or Wilt, you're not going to go 82-0.
Now, did you hear my spin on the what I wanted to do sometime instead of trying to go 20-0? Try to make the most Mike Tomlin team
fake,
of all time.
Fake John said, why can't we try a 9-8 game? Yeah, he texted me and Donnie that and said, let's strive for 9-8.
Well, I said 10-7 because Chris Carter would tweet me and say, well, actually, Mike only went 9-8 one time, you jabroni. You got to make it 10-7.
What if you just
He's
got...
very defensive about that,
wouldn't
apparently.
The only thing you'd have to do for that? It'd be very simple. When your spin comes up Steelers, you pick head coach Tomlin, and it doesn't
No,
literally,
this one doesn't have coach,
yeah,
Chris.
So I was going to say, because it literally wouldn't matter what your team was. You could have Brady, Derrick Henry, Jerry Rice, Randy Moss. They're going 10-7.
And I'm pretty sure the morning show took a couple of minutes and did one, and I want to say—
Are we doing offense only today or both sides?
Well, this one's both sides.
And we're doing gridiron IQ, ball knower stuff, right?
No, 20and0.com.
No. Are we doing the classic mode where you can see stats or not see stats? Because I always do not see stats.
I mean, I'm fine with either or. Not because I think it shows.
Jack, what do you think the more respectable way to do it is?
Probably no stats. It makes it a little bit harder.
All right. I'm doing one on my own computer right now. Dallas 21.
What do you mean? Donnie wanted to do one as a group here, and you're already going rogue.
I was going to do the random spins here.
Come on, man.
All right, Don.
They're all random spins. Yeah. You don't just get to pick the team.
That's what makes it so difficult.
I started it off here. All right, here we go.
We'll start here. I'm pretty sure the morning show, by the way, went 8-9.
Oh, we're going to make a much better team.
And if they had extensive show notes, I think we would be able to actually know what they did. All right, first, Arizona 06 to 2010. That feels like it's got to be Fitz.
Or Kurt Warner.
Save the quarterback.
No, I take the exact opposite stance as him. I think you always try to grab the quarterback so you don't get hosed on the most important position.
Yeah, but you're trying to go 20-0. It's going to be hard to do that with Kurt Warner.
I think you go Fitz here.
You don't think you can go undefeated with Kurt Warner?
You'd have to be perfect nearly everywhere else.
That Kurt Warner
was... You still got, like, what, like five more chances for a quarterback?
It's not... What if St. Louis comes up in the greatest show on turf era? Then you take Kurt Warner.
We did the spin today. They offered Jack 1996 Brett Favre, who won the MVP. He picked like Robert Brooks off that team instead, and ended up with Josh McCown.
Josh Tears and McCown.
Okay,
so they gave me prime Andrew Luck too. And I
how many minutes
well.
Did we budget for this? Because like the way that the arguments are going to happen here, this might take
we
a half hour.
We can take
hour.
Larry Fitz. That's fine.
All right, take Fitz.
All right, we're going Larry Fitz.
All right,
next one. The Giants, 2011 to 2015.
Tucker, one of those dudes from the D-line?
No, we can't take defense yet.
Yeah, you go offense first. Yeah, I found it out the hard way because last night I got
Was Shockey still on that team, Pony?
No. He wasn't even on the 2000s.
You got OBJ in there, 2015.
I think Victor Cruz had like a 1,500-yard season.
Victor Cruz, 2011.
Who do we feel better? I feel like OBJ, greatest rookie season in history, is in there. One of the great rookie seasons.
That is who I would take. Yes.
I'd take OBJ.
OBJ?
Yes. OB Trice,
we'll
real name.
We'll toss
no
him at one of the flex positions. Kansas City, 06 to 2010.
Was Holmes gone by then?
He was gone. So it was Jamal Charles. It was Larry Johnson.
Larry Johnson had that one insane year.
Right, and it takes the
year.
There also is Tony Gonzalez, 08.
Jamal Charles is like wildly underrated.
You take Gonzo. I think you take Tony Gonzalez.
Tight ends are hard
to come by.
Yeah, you get screwed on
tight ends. Tight ends are maybe more difficult than QB.
All right.
Buffalo, 2016 to 2020. We'd have 2020 Josh Allen in there.
But is 2020 Josh Allen better than 2008 Kurt Warner or 2009
Kurt
Warner?
Year three of Josh Allen.
Now you're getting later, so now it becomes... As it goes on, it gets more important to pick the quarterback.
The other problem is that the other skill positions we need, we have a flex and a running back open.
Take Allen.
That third year, that 2020 year is when he took off.
Correct.
Carolina 2021 to 2025. There's McCaffrey.
Tet McMillan.
Yes.
Yeah, you have to take McCaffrey.
Yes. We got a hell of a ball club here so far.
All right, now we got a
this
flex.
This team's going 20-0, Malzi.
San Francisco from 06 to 10.
And what are our options at this point? What do we need?
A flex position. So we have Frank Gore from 2006.
800-year-old Frank
you
Gore.
You got late. Well, actually, that'd be young Frank Gore, I think. Yeah, it would be young Frank Gore. You got late-stage Isaac Bruce.
Hell no.
No way.
What are you talking about
You got
here?
Michael Crabtree.
I think Gore's second season was his best one.
You got Vernon Davis, 09.
Man.
Pitt legend Antonio Bryant from 06. Former Steeler Arnaz Battle from 06.
He was on the 2010
Steelers. I'm between, like, if second... What was Gore's first year?
Gore's 05? The pick here. Gore's, why are we even debating this?
Because I thought about Crabtree.
It's obvious.
All right, now we go to defense, baby. And we got Cleveland from 06 to 2010. I get this every single time.
It's a poison pill thrown in. Who do we have to pick from here?
Didn't Willie McGinnis have a huge year for them?
God, that's a sick, Didn't sick he? Phrase. That is a disgusting
Am I not thinking of somebody from those? I mean, you got Joe Hayden in 2010.
That might have to be the pick.
That, like, off the top of my head... That's probably what I would do.
Duquesne Duke, Lee Bodden in 07.
Ugh. How about, who are the linebackers?
Andre Davis.
That was back in the days when they had Andre Davis.
DeQuell Jackson.
I would take him.
DeQuell Jackson?
Yes, I would take him. Because linebacker's a tough one to fill. I think he led the NFL in tackles one of those years.
All right, I'll put him at linebacker.
That's like weird, and I feel like it's wrong that you know that.
I agree with that. I was going to say that.
Like Jack, you're a pretty sick puppy too.
No, I'm saying, how do you know that?
Hold on. Donnie, I got to stop here.
Okay.
DeQuell Jackson, I want to see if he's right. It'll be highlighted. What's wrong with you?
How many did he have?
I have no life.
He had 154 tackles to lead the league in 2008. I'm embarrassed, in a sense, for you.
Why?
I want to be proud for you, but I'm not.
Okay, we have Tennessee from 06 to 2010. We're working with guys like Kyle Vandenbosch.
Would Haynesworth have been there
Haynesworth
by then?
Haynesworth in 08 is great. I would take that right now.
He's a dog
stomping
on people.
Why am I the only person on our video right now, by the way? There you are.
Yeah, the computer's being controlled by somebody else.
Oh! Okay.
Yeah, sometimes.
Once Tony said DeQuell Jackson led the league in tackles one of those years, somebody just wanted to focus in on him alone.
Yeah, Haynesworth for sure.
We got Philly 06-10. I'm thinking
what
Dawkins.
What the heck is going on with this?
Dawkins? Anybody
besides Dawkins?
We got to
go Dawkins, yeah. Right?
Well, hold on a second here. Is Babin on there? Or how about Trent Cole?
Trent Cole is there, 09. Jeremiah Trotter.
What year of
06.
Babin? So Babin had 2.5 sacks that year, and it's
Asante Samuel.
Babin's big 18 sack year was 2011. Pony, how do you not know that? Duh.
Well, now you're cheating.
Yeah, I'm just checking on this for you because, you know, you said it so confidently.
I feel like Dawkins would be.
That's fine. I'm good with that.
Babin kind of looks like if Dan Zangrilli was a defensive lineman.
Now we have Philly from 88-97. We got Reggie White open for the edge rusher, baby. We got Reggie. We got a chance here, fellas.
Sweet sassy molassie.
Seattle from 99-05. We need a corner, and we also have a defensive flex position open.
Who was the rookie linebacker on that team that played the, or the younger linebacker?
Tatupu.
Tatupu.
Well, wait a minute. What are the years again here?
99 to 05. Cortez Kennedy.
And Tatupu, that was
his
rookie year.
Wasn't he a beast as a rookie?
Yes. Cortez Kennedy is there.
But wait a minute. What spots are we filling?
We have a corner and we have a defensive flex, so that could be anybody.
I mean, I take Cortez Kennedy to be the flex over Tatupu. Who are the corner options?
I don't remember them having dudes.
There's a good bit here at corner. We have...
That's from way what, too early for any of those.
From what years?
99 to 05.
Sean Springs, Michael Bulwer, who could also be a safety.
Was Springs
Marcus
really
Trufant.
Good in 99?
I would think about Sean Springs.
Springs was
then,
really good.
Because then we can take anybody with the last one.
I'd take Springs. I think that
all
was
right,
back.
He's locked in.
Yeah, Springs was really good back
now
then.
Now we have Carolina from 06-10.
Peppers?
Yeah. Peppers is there.
Yeah. Peppers!
08 Peppers.
Yeah.
08 Peppers.
What's this team coming in at?
We're 17-3.
Ah.
Is that better than the morning show?
I think a lot better.
I think they
went
8-9.
Sure they went 500, yeah. I thought we would be closer. I thought it'd be like an 18 or 19 win squad.
How many hours would you say combined you and Pony have killed on 20
but 17-3 without having the stats I think is really good.
You know what surprisingly hurt us? McCaffrey, a very subpar year. He must have been hurt.
Could have taken Tet McMillan.
2021, he only had 442 and a touchdown.
Yep, probably cost us a dub.